we can start small and make some progress and have some successes and then just kind of continue that process.
It's beginning to look like downtown planning in Haines. And stay with us for a special feature that digs into the local news archives as KHNS celebrates 30 years. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The cruise industry has ended its lawsuit against Alaska's passenger head tax. Lines promised to drop the suit if the legislature passed a bill reducing the tax and changing its structure. Governor Sean Parnell signed that bill last week. The suit was dismissed with prejudice, which means the lines will not sue again over the issue. Voters imposed the $46 per person tax by passing the 2006 Cruise Ship Initiative. Legislation passed in April removed a regional impact fund, which directed some tax proceeds to communities hundreds of miles from cruise ship docks. The industry pointed to federal legislation requiring cruise taxes be used closer to ports. The bill also reduces the fee by the amount collected by Ketchikan and Juneau, which charge their own head taxes. Most ships sailing Alaska waters stop at both communities. As a result, most passengers will see their tax drop about 60% to $19.50. The reduction will be in effect for the 2011 tourist season. The bill made no change to a $4 passenger fee that funds an onboard environmental monitoring program. Supporters in cruise lines say the change will bring more ships and passengers to Alaska. Critics say ship numbers, which are shrinking, are affected more by the world economy than state taxes. There's a big transition from talking about downtown planning and seeing downtown improvements. The latest crack at revitalizing downtown Haines is at a point where downtown planning is something you can actually point at and not just talk about while walking down Main Street. Mark Ernest is the Haines Borough Manager. He's been working with MRV Architects out of Juneau. They're soon releasing a report that's a product of more than a year of public input and borough discussion.
We'll be able to use that to kind of do some planning and look at the various recommendations and suggestions that are contained in that report to focus on a direction, a path that makes most sense to the community.
Banners celebrating the centennial of Haines' first incorporation are up. Cleaning efforts are underway. This is the point where we really start to see ideas take shape and come to life, says Ernest. The goals in the professionally powered planning project were originally focused on Main Street through town, but have begun to include areas like the Fort and Picture Point.
Put forward would be really just to promote some activities that would be for downtown and would include street festivals and some retail events and other activities, you know, kind of like what's been planned out in other parts of the community, like the fair, but just basically to have a focus on the downtown area to bring people in.
Ideas for changing downtown include directional signage, ideas for building upkeep, street and sidewalk cleaning, banners, landscaping, parking improvements, street furniture like benches, and even a town square or pavilion someday.
Just for people to sit while they stroll through town, some murals, and all the way up to a downtown park where activities could be centered in.
Public feedback has fueled a lot of the borough's direction, like interest in using the old school site once it's torn down. Volunteers staff committees that are also part of the downtown revitalization movement. They're researching things like how to direct pedestrians and how to celebrate the town's centennial.
Other areas would be to enhance the attractiveness of the downtown area, which would be a variety of potential efforts, but you know, starting anywhere from just keeping the streets clean and free of debris and dirt and dust and cigarette remains and things like that. You know, and we know the full gamut of ideas that have been brought forward. Some of those will certainly be applicable or will work.
But some members of the public remember that the talking part of downtown planning has been done before, with no real changes to point at. Ernest, with a half a year as manager under his belt, says those old notes are all part of the research.
And then I've been going through a lot of the designs and plans here at the borough, my office, going back to the 1970s. waterfront improvements. And so, you know, certainly not interested in starting from scratch, because we don't have to. We've got a lot of good ideas that have gone through the public process, and I think what we can do at this point is take a lot of those ideas and find the ones that make the most sense today, and, you know, try to build a plan to get those implemented.
The borough plans to assemble a team of stakeholders to guide Haines in carrying out the plan.
It's going to be very important that the folks that are going to be involved in those formulation of those decisions and the direction be the ones that are most affected by the outcome. So it'll obviously involve the borough, but it'll also include Chamber of Commerce and businesses within the core area and other entities working together to find a good plan.
Ernest adds the efforts could introduce another borough position, someone part-time, possibly volunteer, to review the town's ideas and coordinate activities. Longer-term ideas are part of the plan, too. They not only cosmetically improve downtown, but enliven the economic situation enough to keep it animated.
Those would include funding plans that may involve the borough. There have been a number of ideas that have been used in other communities to help the businesses make improvements, whether that's through tax incentives or grant programs or combinations or, you know, some other funding opportunities. But there's a number of ideas, and I think, you know, that would be first task is really to kind of lay a roadmap and start doing some planning and bring people on board and see what works.
Ernest says funding could come from the Economic Development Fund or capital project money from the state. He adds that some money could also come from the cruise ship head tax funds.
But those are all limited and have a number of other projects, priority projects, you know, competing for those funds in the communities. But, you know, like I said, we can start small and make some progress, have some successes, and then just kind of continue that process.
Ernest says the work will also help the borough with the comprehensive plan to make improvements borough-wide.
There are a lot of things that we can do that don't cost a lot of money but would have a big impact. And no, those are all great ideas, and I'm, you know, pretty excited about this. And I think the good thing here is, like I said, a lot of this work has been already done, and now we just need to find a way to make the best ideas, you know, make them happen.
In recognition of the KHNS 30th anniversary, we're bringing you a special feature, News from Your Past. Here's a peek into the KHNS local news archives. This is one from 12 years ago.
Two Canadians planning on traveling to Juneau aboard the state's marine highway system were caught transporting marijuana between Canada and the U.S. Skagway's Chief of Police Dave Sexton says the men, both in their late 20s,
came across the border in the middle of the night. One of them got out and reported to the camera like they're required to do, but he told the camera that he was alone in the vehicle where it was clear there was a second person in the vehicle. The customs officer on duty, noticing this, ran the plate on the vehicle and noticed that it came back to the same registered owner as the person that was the registered owner of a vehicle that we took 13 pounds of marijuana out of last summer.
The after-hours routine at the Skagway border crossing is for the videotape from the night before to be reviewed by custom officers the next morning. It was during the morning review that the officer noticed the discrepancy. Later in the morning, the two men were located at a Skagway motel and consented to a search of their truck.
In the vehicle, we found 26.8 pounds of marijuana, extremely high-grade marijuana. Apparently this stuff swaps ounce for ounce in California straight across for cocaine. We figure it's about $400,000 worth.
No dogs were involved in the search, but a few suspicious answers early on led to a closer check of the truck, which exposed the pot.
There was one of these big toolboxes in the back that goes across the bed, and it was locked with a padlock. And the driver and the passenger claimed they didn't have a key to it, although they told us their clothes and stuff were inside. They told us they didn't have a key to the box. So we took the vehicle over to our Public Works, and Public Works drilled out the padlocks. And that's how we got into the toolbox. and then inside the toolbox was a backpack, and inside the backpack were 28 Ziploc vacuum-sealed bags.
The incident took place October 24th, but due to the ongoing investigation, U.S. Customs has just forwarded the case to the U.S. attorney, and Skagway police are forwarding it to the state attorney for charges to be filed. Charges in both the federal and state levels are expected. The two men, Canadians, were released under their own recognizance to appear at an upcoming court date.
That past KHNS news report was from 12 years ago in News from Your Past, commemorating 30 years of community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. I'm Tara Bicknell with KHNS Local News.